twice a day, however many times you can share it. And thank you to all the folks who put nugget statements on and already are sharing around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? I had to take a moment and wipe away a tear because I really felt the spirit of my daddy right then on them old songs. Those ones I cut my teeth on. Hallelujah. Those ones that'll keep you. Hallelujah. The foundational songs. Things that'll stand the test of time. I know some of the younger generation, they may not know some of those songs, but those songs were engrafted in old time Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My daddy would start off his tent revivals. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God. I've been born of His Spirit, and oh yes, I was washed in His blood. And this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Isn't He good? I think He's real good. I think the Lord is real good, and we ought to appreciate Him. Hallelujah. And give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Give God a praise up in here. God starts doing something, you need to recognize and notice it and then acknowledge it. And it's Brother Larry. When you came in, the reason why for my pause right when I was introducing myself to you is because 3 years ago I saw you in a dream before I ever met you. I believe that this is our first time meeting. And I'm pretty good with facial recognition, y'all. I can recognize actors and actresses, except for the folks from Spider-Man and one girl and stuff, and they just crisscross. I can't get there. They're like twins. But most times, facial recognition, and when somebody is so clear, in that dream, it was a signal of those that were white-headed, that loved Jesus, that still wanted a move of God, that were praying for the Holy Ghost and fire. And they came into a building, and I noticed different ones, and you were in that dream, sir. Hallelujah. Those that are hungry for a move of God and the Holy Ghost fire. Woo. And so tonight on 12-12-21-1-2-1-2-2-1, that God would have someone come right in that And right when I looked at him, I said, I hadn't thought about that dream in about, what, a year and a half? We marked it down, talked about it, what God was doing. And I left it to the Lord because he didn't give any other instruction. But you are the first fruits of that dream. That means something else is breaking loose supernaturally right now. You can be the right person in the right place at the right time for the right things from God. Oh, yeah. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for confirming through signs and wonders and dreams and visions. I thank you, Lord, that you still speak by the power of the Holy Spirit to a people who are hungry after you, to the people that believe that you do supernatural things. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for those that know you, that know how to pursue you, that know how to get into your presence, that know how to go there. Lord, we need even more so to herald the message into a lost and dying world that's messed up, upside down, twisted and around, and needs the real truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Let the glory come in this place. Let an mighty anointing empower us for what we should do. But the glory, Lord, for what you should do. And Lord, let the miraculous be something that we live in on a daily basis. Let the miraculous be something we walk in, like Smith Wigglesworth, like Lester Summerall, like other men and women of old. Let us walk in it and talk in it, Lord, that we might know and experience and help others to find the miracle of Jesus during this wonderful season. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen. Always lean and keep one ear, especially your right ear, and lean it into the spirit realm and listen for his voice, because he is speaking to those who are listening. To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying unto the church. I'm glad you're here on this Sunday night. Praise the Lord. And this is the second Sunday night of December. We don't have many days left in this year, which is our second year of the decade. And then we will move into the third year of the decade. And I invite you to be with us and plan to be with us. We have our candlelight service on Christmas Eve, and then also our New Year's Eve bash, praise the Lord, which we welcome in the new year. And we don't have to watch New York's ball coming down and stuff like that. We get drunk in the Holy Ghost and don't need anything of alcohol. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's going to be a great, I'm already feeling a great word. But tonight I want to speak to you what the Lord laid in my heart. And he dropped this into my spirit. And it is the miraculous versus the mundane. Very really, I could go to Mary and Martha. Martha was worried about the cares and the mundane things and trying to live up to a certain standard and do everything right. And Mary just wanted to hear the words of the Master coming from his mouth. But I want to steer you tonight to Mark's Gospel. And could we stand for the reading of the word? Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're going to read this word, because in this is a whole lot of exactly what we're in right now. Let us read. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Stop, there's a period there. Right away, their first impression is that they were amazed. As he was teaching, they were amazed. There was an amazement. Somebody was in their presence that caused them to be amazed. Let's read on. And they ask, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Stop. They recognized that he was carrying more wisdom than what they had anticipated, and power and performance of miracles that they knew he was doing. They didn't say, oh, we heard that somewhere he did some things. They simply asked this question, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then their stupid side kicked in. Somebody say, beware of the stupid side. Let's read on. Then they scoffed, saying, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and their sisters right here among us. This is called, the family has been around us a while. We're going to devalue you by your childhood. We do not want to now receive who you are now. All right, let's look at the next verses. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. They were what? As soon as they did the family thing and went through the genealogy of I knew you when you was a kid and all this stuff, now they're scoffing. Now they were amazed, bewildered at what kind of power and performance of miracles. Then they moved to scoffing, and now they're deeply offended, and then they refused. And let's look at it now. They refused to believe in him. Let's read. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. You may be seated. Their amazement at the Messiah went full circle at his amazement of their unbelief. What happened? They had the miraculous right there in front of them. He came to his hometown to perform the same miracles that he was performing everywhere else. It was honor. He wanted to honor his hometown with some miracles from heaven. But as soon as they went through, I knew you when, they refused who he now was because they could not decipher nor perceive the miraculous that was standing right in front of them. He was posed to do the miraculous, and they blocked him because they shifted from amazement and wonder at the question, and they answered the question wrong. Instead of answering the question with the miraculous is here, they answered the question with the mundane. The mundane, the ordinary. We knew him in his everyday life. We knew him when he was growing up. We knew him when he had to do certain things and went to school or came to the synagogue. We knew him when we taught him things. We knew him, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't really talk about how they knew him. They talked about how they knew the family. We know the family that he came from, and we know his brothers and his sister, and we know his mama, but they really didn't say we know the miracle worker. They knew those that grew up with him, but I'm here to tell you, there's some of you in here tonight, not every family member you grew up with is on the miraculous side like you are. Am I telling the truth? There's a whole lot of family members you're still trying to convince of the miraculous that you've stepped into, because when you come to relationship with Jesus Christ, there is a miracle that happens, and it's called the miracle of salvation. And when you are carrying salvation, you are carrying the miraculous. And folks, I'm here to let you know that no matter how watered down the gospel gets to present to the world, I refuse, whether they understand it or not, I refuse to come in and censor out the miraculous out of the Bible, the miraculous out of this church, the miraculous out of our testimony, the miraculous away from Jesus, and then just present him as a normal birth that God did some kind of, yes, the miracle of life of every birth, but it was a virgin birth, which was a miracle that had never happened before. I refuse to relegate that kind of miracle away to the adversary or to some Steven Spielberg movie. I'm here to tell somebody that real miracles are in a miracle Jesus, and you are a miracle. I'm not feeling good today. Are you saved? You're a miracle. Notify your face that you're a miracle. Notify your body that you're a miracle. Because if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Said Jesus on the inside, working on my outside. Hallelujah. As we take a look at scripture, they did take the wrong turn in their assessment of what was right in front of them. Every one of us are always got a decision of choosing the miraculous or the mundane. On our Monday, if we're at work, we can choose to see work as mundane, or we can choose to see it as an opportunity for the miraculous. One opportunity to witness, one opportunity to shine. One opportunity to be different than the world. See, the danger is that ordinary is the enemy to extraordinary. That average and mediocrity is the enemy of excellence. That if you choose the mundane, you will diminish the miraculous. I understand in the Webster's that mundane can be just your ordinary things of life, but can you see the miracle of life in everything that you do that you think is just ordinary? Never let the mundane diminish the miraculous in your life. Rather, find the miraculous in every day. I know that it can get tedious now with twins, Dr. April, and having to do double diaper duty and double burp duty and double this and double that, and it can be quite tedious. But every time you say the twins are the miracle confirmation that God said, because some people don't know, but when she had them in the before knew they were twins, the Lord spoke to her and said, this that you are carrying is going to be a confirmation. And her confirmation of that sonogram came without us communicating together, came on the same night that a prophetic preacher, a glory preacher, Warren Hunter down here in Branson, spoke double over my wife and I's life on March the 12th of last year and said, everything in your life is going to double. And the next day as we were sharing that, she said, oh my God, they just confirmed that I'm carrying twins. Same day confirmation, double and twins. Hallelujah. Well, see, the Lord's not into circumstances. He's into the miraculous. And so we must remind ourselves at times when we're doing things that we need to go ahead and give God a praise. So I don't like doing the dishes. Well, there's some folks can't do the dishes. You ought to praise God that you can do the dishes. Hallelujah. I said, well, I don't like driving. There's some folk can't drive no more. You ought to thank God you can drive. Hallelujah. And we thank God you can drive and got it together, not driving and shouldn't be driving. Hallelujah. Never let the mundane diminish the miraculous in your life. Rather, find the miraculous in every day. Can I just help somebody? I'm going to help a generation. If you're bored, it's because you're boring. Waiting for somebody to entertain them. I'm just a real quick glimpse of Pastor before there were computers. I know I'm a dinosaur. Before the computers. Because I can go back to 78 and 33 LPs. Praise the Lord. Some people don't know what that is. But before there was digital, there was CDs. And before CDs and compact discs, there was cassettes. And before cassettes, there was 8-tracks. And before 8-tracks, there was 33 and 78. They are just large CDs that were on vinyl. Actually, my first radio broadcast was with the big reel-to-reel. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm turning 60 next year. There's a little bit of mileage to me. Praise God. folks sometimes don't know, but see, we learned how to play and use our imagination. I didn't have computer games to do the imagination for me. I had to make up my own games. I had to play my own war. And if us boys got together and played war, we were in trouble because we'd take those buckeyes and we'd throw them at each other as hand grenades, and they hurt when they hit you. And if we didn't have those, we took hardballs and threw them at each other. So we played hard, but we used our minds. We didn't wait for somebody else to use our mind. Because if you wait for somebody else to use your mind, the devil will use it. And so we grew up using our minds to do things. And we weren't bored. If we were bored, my mom and dad would say, go outside and play and do something. What was their answer to boredom? Go do something. Because if you don't go outside and do something, I'm going to put you to work in here. And then you'll be doing something. Are your chores done? Is your studies done? Yeah, I read the book. Read it again if you're bored. Read another chapter of the Bible. Oh, Mom, Dad, can I watch TV? No, we were on limited TV time, 3 channels and limited to how much TV time we could have. Matter of fact, I knew certain things that came up right before Walter Cronkite and right after. And not at 10 o'clock at night, because if the news came on at 10 o'clock and you were up, you were getting a whooping for being up too late. You were supposed to already be in bed and sleep because it was a school night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some parents have failed in this generation. Let me tell you, some parents have failed in this generation fearing that they would fail because they took the advice of Dr. Seuss when it's all make-believe. What's real is the love of Jesus in a family. What's real is time at the dinner table. What's real is prayer one with another. What's real is mom and daddy coming into your bedroom and talking to you about the things that are in your life that you're trying to hide. If you're boring, if you're bored, it's because you're boring. You ain't doing nothing. Never let these things partner with ordinary. Unbelief. Unbelief stopped the miraculous in the Lord's life and reduced him at Nazareth to just being able to lay hands on a few sick folk and heal them because of their faith. But the collective faith blocked him from doing the miraculous because they chose the mundane. And they chose to go from being amazed and ready to receive, because in every faith testimony, there's an amazement. But it's what you do with that amazement that will determine what comes next. Either the mundane, you'll get more of the same old, and the status quo, or you'll get the miraculous. This is what happens to people in church. They are met with the power and the presence of God, and they're met with the testimonies of God. And even as young people and older people, and we are met with the things of God. And if we choose the mundane, we'll leave one way. And others that choose the miraculous will leave healed, saved, signs, wonders, miracles, joy, peace, everything. And they'll leave the same service and have 2 different outlooks because of the choice they made when Jesus came down the aisle. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Refuse to partner boredom. Refuse to partner anxiety. Refuse to partner negativity. Refuse to be stressed out. I'll help somebody tonight. The meaning of miraculous, by definition, is the miraculous is the divine intervention in natural human affairs and events. It is the Lord showing up to help you within your normal human affairs and events. It's separate from science and logic or normal experienced facts, the outcome of which is life-giving. The outcome of having divine interruption and the Lord's miraculous in your life is that it's life-giving, it's life-changing, it's life-preserving. The mundane, it's just the dull and the ordinary, relating to the ordinary life practices in the earth rather than anything spiritual. It's the tasks of life. And cleaning and cooking and working and doing dishes and paying bills and the things that need to produce a normal lifestyle and the atmosphere of living, repeated tasks daily or weekly that, if left undone, will add stress and clutter and chaos and reduce the enjoyment of life. These are things that have to be done. Turn to somebody and say, you have to take a bath and shower sometime. We should smell good sometime. You should comb your hair sometime. Brush your teeth sometime. I don't like the mundane. Do the things that do good, because you know what? You'll do cleanly things. Wash your hands. Keep the germs away, right? See, miracles are all around us daily. The question is, can you see them? The greatest miracle, I told you, is salvation and living a life for Christ. When you live it out daily in relationship with the Lord by spirit, by faith, by word and action, it is the working of the miraculous. The Lord said this, anybody can love somebody who loves them. But can you love somebody that don't like you? Can you love your enemy in return? If you can, that's the miraculous at work in you. If you can love your neighbor as yourself, that's the miraculous at work in you. If you qualify only benefits to those who've shown love to you, then you'll never reach out and testify to a stranger. When you testify to somebody who has not shown you any kindness and love, that's the miraculous at work. When we have the clothing giveaways around here, it's the miraculous at work. When we feed the hungry, it's the miraculous at work. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's miracles happening all around us. Some of those smiles and hugs are miracles at work. Do you know how many people go through life? The other Sunday, there was folks that were visiting with us, and we started letting the Holy Ghost hug go around. I went down and hugged a preacher down here on the third, fourth pew. And when I grabbed a hold of him, other people started to cry. And the Holy Spirit said, there's a whole lot of people in this room haven't had a hug for a long time. Either the hugs have been so far in between that they are not able to have that, or two, that they had an ulterior motive behind the hug. How about we just have good Holy Ghost hugs that say, I love you, my brother, my sister, in the love of the Lord, and let us know each other is loving the Lord and each other. That's the miracle. Turn to somebody and say, it's miraculous at work. Every smile, every hug, every joy you bring, every love you give, because you're a miracle. You are the miraculous at work because you have Jesus inside you. Every encouragement that you say and everything you do to uplift someone is the miracle of salvation at work in you. It's eternal life working in you, through you, on you, and getting all around you. The world and the enemy wants to make our God-given miraculous through Jesus Christ nothing more than the ordinary, the mundane, not special, powerless, even rejected. To reduce the miraculous power at work in you down to nothing more than the mundane, boring life of this world has to make slaves out of the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after they bored you to death, they try to sell you. You need vice, lust, greed, and all the things to spice up what the world has destroyed out of your life. And all along, the perfect way, the way of the kingdom, is the way to go. Because we are sons of authority. See, they want to bind our minds, our lifestyle, our actions, and make us weak in faith. That wrong perception devalues the miraculous to the low value of mundane, and it's a trap of the flesh that will produce wrong works. Working the mundane is all a mental view, having the wrong mindset. And boy, we changed mindsets upon this morning, praise the Lord, and got an unstoppable mindset. See, the actions, whether at work or at home, the course of life, are the container. Your actions are the container in the time of your day. But the content is what you fill it up with. The content is the love or joy you put into it. There are a lot of vessels walking around empty, wanting somebody with just a little bit of oil that can pour miraculously, fill them all up. There's people that don't know that there's anybody that loves anymore, anybody that's hopeful anymore. We have been in quite a time these last 2 years. I say, well, I've got a job and it's tedious. Well, work is unto the Lord, not unto men. Work as if the Lord is right there with you. Some people say, oh, I don't know. It just seems mundane to me. See, if you fill up yourself only with the miraculous, it'll quickly become mundane. You'll take it for granted. But when you fill someone up with it, it starts to flow and it can never be mundane. Never let the mundane drain you, but flood them with passion and purpose. Take a moment to enjoy all that God has given you outside and inside. Quit looking at what you lost and look at what you got. Turn to somebody and say, quit looking at what you lost and look what you got. Some people look at the loss so much they think they're bankrupt. Think of the loss so much they get depressed. Think of the loss so much that they grieve themselves right into the grave. Jacob was grieving and wanted to grieve himself to death at the loss of Joseph when his sons had lied to him. Yet the miraculous was at work in Joseph. Joseph didn't know it till later. Jacob thought the miraculous was dead and wanted to grieve himself to death, but God wouldn't let him. He so much wanted to die that when later on they was told that the son was alive, he couldn't believe it. Because he had sided with the mundane, with loss. It was not hopeful. He did not ask God, is my son still alive? Oh, this is out of my new book that will be coming out after the other new book. Praise the Lord. I'm working on several of them. But then all of a sudden, the plan of God was revealed that the miraculous was all the way, was always there, even through the mundane. Even through all that Joseph was doing all throughout that time, the miraculous was at work. And then all of a sudden, there's an aha moment that God has taken all the things that we thought were ordinary and has done something miraculous because somebody held their integrity, somebody held to the dream, and somebody trusted God. And if you can have somebody that holds their integrity and the dream and God, you will get a miracle somewhere in your timeline. Somebody said, there's a miracle showing up in my timeline. And you probably can connect us to this morning's 1,000 steps with no purpose, destination, or goal will eventually cancel the passion to walk it out to the end. 1,000 steps with no purpose, you'll lose the passion to go to the end. Why? Because we would be passionately walking to somewhere, but don't know where. And when you don't know where without the purpose, the same steps over and over start to get mundane. And you start to ask the question, are we there yet? But I don't know where there is. No one knowing their destination changes the direction and plots a random course just to make it fun. They make it fun while on the right course with excitement of the journey to the forethought outcome. The miraculous is not only reserved by God Almighty for the supernatural divine intervention and disruption of earthly matters, but rather it matters that the God of matter says that you matter enough that through Christ you can do all things. The extension of Christ, his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. Don't you think that's miraculous? The touch of the divine that's in you that you can pass to somebody else. Is that miraculous? That when you share a moment of his glory, of a testimony of something God did, that miraculous is released into the atmosphere. And all of a sudden now their faith can be engaged to receive the miraculous Jesus. We need more of the miraculous because we're dealing with the pandemic stress of a global pandemic, the stress of news, the stress of health issues, stress of economics, the heightened altered state of survival for family and for friends and for self. We find that stress provides a very toxin in this day. See, I promise you, nothing is as chaotic as it seems. Nothing is worth diminishing your health nor worth poisoning yourself into stress, anxiety, and fear. Stephen Maraboli. Anxiety happens when you think you have to figure out everything all at once. It's like I'm trying to play God. He's the one that had it all figured out all at once. We don't need to figure it out. All we need is the next instruction. The next God instruction will get us where we need to go. Somebody give God praise. So the writer says this, take a big deep breath. You're strong. You got this. Just take it day by day. Here's some other wonderful quotes and things that'll help because they come from Scripture. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. I think that's King David. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. I think that was King David. He has put his angels in charge of you. They will watch over you wherever you go. Psalms. I think that was King David. Quoting of Moses. Thank you. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Psalms 16:8. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Psalms 34:8. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles and he rescued them. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not let the godly slip and fall. So I see here that the Lord helps those who give it to him. Give me all your cares. Lay your heavy load upon me, the Lord says. The folks that get buried are the ones who want to carry it by themselves and leave the Lord standing there. They left him standing there when he was ready to give them miracles, and they drove him out of the city. But we are not like that. We love to give the Lord those things that we cannot handle. How many love to put the care on him? He's got good shoulders. He could bear the cross and all the sins of all humanity. He's got strong shoulders. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous, mighty right hand. So here's a good saying to tell anxiety. Let's all read it out real good. Anxiety? I will transform you into something useful and productive. I will not bow down to you. We'll try that one again. It's a power statement. Anxiety, I will transform you into something useful and productive. I will not bow down to you. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Given all the stresses that anxiety presented us, that we've been thrust into, we have to have tools that we can overcome the overwhelming and refuse to be overwhelmed and turn it into overcoming. There are seasons where you look back and wish even long enough for the normal, mundane, simple life that you once thought stressed you out. I'm going to say that again. During the time of all the stresses, there's been plenty of people say, why we can't just go back to normal? Yet it's those same people I heard griping about normal was stressing them out. Now, you can't have it both ways. Turn to somebody and say, you can't have it both ways. The only reason why the normal mundane is stressing anybody out is because they're refusing to move forward and grow. From this morning, if you're going to have what God says you're going to have, your faith is going to be tested. And when it is, it's proof you're growing. I love that from Pastor David. Hallelujah. Stress can become a pressure that is, if not channeled into answers, that bring closure to the problem in a manner that's beneficial in the outcome, it will destroy you. But if you use it wisely, it can stretch you. It can press you. It can push you. When you feel stressed, oh yeah? All right, what am I missing? I'm going to grab something I'm missing. I'm going to get on my knees and pray. I'm going to look to the Word. I'm going to grab a mentor. I'm going to ask them for an answer. Because when I've got an answer, something is going to happen in my life. See, a lot of stress is self-manufactured. I don't have somebody constantly pushing and shoving on me and slapping me in the face. How many knows I'd have to fight back, because that would be a press to fight back. I'd be stressed enough that I had to fight back. But many times, stress of not fighting back properly is self-manufactured. So instead of manufacturing stress, why don't we, with our mind and faith and focus, manufacture success? That's a direct quote from, hallelujah. Stress can either handle you or you can handle the stress. See, stress comes as a heightened sense of assault, or it's an absence of knowledge and understanding and wisdom to overcome, even if it takes longer than first proposed. Stress comes as pressure to try to push you down. Sometimes stress comes in the form of tragedy and loss and prolonged or sudden illness, financial calamity, throws us into a sense of what's next. But just months before, we were so bored, we were asking, what's next? Then there are those who decide no matter what is next, they will have more because God has promised them. They will have more joy, more love, more endurance, more strength, more goodness, and that the outcome, however it presents itself, they will cling to what is good, godly, true, and of value, and the relationships that are so important. See, you can either press the stress or get pressed. You trouble the trouble, or you stay in trouble. See, some people say, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to answer that. See, all you can do is what you know how to do. So to do more, you got to find out how to. You can't afford to be jealous of this other person who knows how to do it. Matter of fact, build a relationship with somebody who knows how to do it and ask them how to do it. I'm just going to supercharge Mentorship Institute for this next year so that Prophetess doesn't get bored. I'm going to challenge some people. Mentorship Institute is not Rent-A-Friend. You come with questions. I don't have any questions about myself. You've got the wealth of knowledge right over here that you can ask how she made it 32 years in marriage. How did she go through raising children? How does she come out with diamond rings on every single hand? How does she come out with the blessings of the Lord inside? How did she come from a one-bedroom, two-room apartment when she first met me to a 10x50 mobile home to a 16x84 mobile home? Couldn't get rid of the mobile home part. And then we decided from a mobile home part, God bless us, and we built a 4,800 square foot home that is paid for. Skipped all the in-between. Why don't you ask how that happened? Ask the wisdom. Pull on the wisdom. Pull on what you need to know for her. See, because if you don't have a question about your future, you're satisfied with your present. If you're going to pay good money, make sure you pull some nugget out. When you're in the presence of greatness, always have a question that refers to how they did something. Because how they did something gives you an answer of how you can do it. Because the answer is not relegated only to that person. I found out that I had to listen to my mentors because cash registers wouldn't say paid in full just because I showed up and put my face in it. I ain't that good looking. I had to work what they worked. And when I found out I worked what they worked, as same the way that they gave me that knowledge, the principles worked, no matter whether it was them or it was me. I just had to believe that it worked for me. How many knows that when somebody told you about salvation, you had to believe that Jesus would save you just like he saved them, that they weren't the only one that could be saved. They weren't the only one that could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you hear about healing, they're not the only one that can be healed. When you hear about a miracle, they're not the only one that he wants to do the miraculous for. That the Lord wants to do miracles, salvations, healings, and miracles for everybody who will believe. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I know the miraculous is right here. When you know how to do something, that relieves half the stress. Ask me what the other half is. Following the instruction and finding out that it worked removes the other part of the stress. See, following the Lord's instructions accurately and faithfully, no matter the circumstances, is enough. Put in the Lord's hands by prayer those things that you have no ability to change and no authority over. Then use your ability and authority to change those things which are yours to do so. Oh, I'm almost say that again because it had to do with that authority from this morning. The Lord had already given me this week, and we didn't even compare and share notes. You'd have thought the pastoral staff had got together and shared some things. Look at this. Put in the Lord's hands by prayer those things which you do not have the ability to change nor the authority to do so. But then go work your ability and your authority with everything God has given you that does work. It's yours to do it. Hallelujah. Make something special during this holiday season and all the way around the year happen for someone else to show you care about them. This increases the value of both. Is that a true statement? That when you initiate to do something special for somebody else, it increases their value and increases yours. Increases the value of both. This is the miraculous. The world doesn't think this way. The world thinks that if you give to somebody, then you're lessening yourself. When the Lord says no, when you give away something, you're multiplying it. Much of life's challenges are based in a not enough belief system instead of a more than enough mindset. I'm going to say this again. Much of life's challenges are based in a not enough belief system instead of a more than enough mindset. How many knows that he has more than enough for you? Notice all the little widows that came to the prophetic. The prophetic had the more than enough mindset, the miraculous. And all the little widows, when they came, one told Elijah, I have nothing but a little. I don't have much. I'm about ready to die. We're just going to cook with the sticks, and we're going to die. He said, well, all right, do the cooking part, but we're going to intervene in here, thus saith the Lord, and you're not going to die. The other woman said, the prophet Elisha said, what do you have in the house? She said, I don't have but a little cruse of oil. That's enough, because it's more than enough mindset. She said, I don't have enough. He said, you got more than enough to work the miraculous. And you notice that neither of them, neither Elijah nor Elisha, did the thing. They commanded the thing. The prophetic instruction obeyed produces the miraculous of the prophetic. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. The prophetic instruction obeyed by a non-prophet, by a non-prophetic person, the instruction, prophetic instruction obeyed will produce the miraculous that comes from the mantle of the prophet. The miracle took place because somebody obeyed the instruction. Turn to somebody and say, all I am is one instruction away from the most ridiculous miracle of more than enough than you've ever seen. Say it again. I'm just one prophetic instruction obeyed away from the most ridiculous miracle of more than enough than you've ever seen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's forecast. Prophetic instruction obeyed. Miraculous comes to pass. Hallelujah. Reigning miraculous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Doing not enough produces a breakdown in the enough system of life. Doing not enough produces a breakdown in the enough system of life. When I didn't do my chores, it broke down my seat at the table. And if I mouthed back, then it broke down my seat going to my room. And that turned out pretty good. They didn't just say, no, you couldn't do time out with me. Do time out, stand in the corner. I dig a hole in the wall, draw on the wall, kick the wall, slap the wall, bang my head on the wall. I'd find something to do with the wall. Yeah. Oh, he has creative artistry. No, he has rebellion. I was barely out of diapers, and my dad said, leave my library bookcase alone. Don't you touch it. I waited. The dad was in the other room with my mama, and I backed up while I was watching him to the bookcase. Reached my hand behind me where nobody could see it. Grabbed a hold of the book and started pulling books out until he came. How many knows he tore my hide up? Because not only was I doing purposely rebelling, I was doing it with the sneak of the devil. Better get the hell out of there before that child turns into a devil. Get Jesus in. Want to know why there was a miracle of salvation? Because my mom and daddy knew they better get Jesus into this child.
Yeah, right now.
We need to tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Believe it or not, this is my last PowerPoint. Turn the stress into a press. See, you can choose to transform under the stress. You can stay in the sun, beautiful grape, until you dry up like a raisin. Raisins are nothing more than grapes without stress. They are just soaking up the sun, drying up as they go. But them others get thrown into a vat, and people actually take their shoes off and take their nasty naked feet and stomp all over them wonderful grapes who just came out of harvest. Look at me. I just got to harvest. Stomp, 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 stomp. Sometimes the Lord will change your look and appearance with stress. But if you understand the process of what the Lord is doing, he's trying to get what's inside you out of your skin. As long as it's trapped in your skin, it cannot produce the wine. Olives, you can sit there and get overripe and simply waste away. Or you can be taken into the cold presses and make the things that are medically proven. Extra virgin olive oil is not only just for the things in the Bible, but it helps with your heart. It helps with your circulation, helps with weight loss. It helps with so many other things that the very thing that the Lord chooses, the olive and the grape, to break them down is because he's trying to get something that's on the inside to come gushing out. See, as long as you resist, the more you get depressed and dried up. But as soon as you say, oh yeah, you want to stress me out? I'm going to pray this thing out. I'm going to walk and talk in the Spirit. I'm going to let my spirit come on out. Hallelujah. You want to push on me? I got to push back. I've got to press. I've got to press in my prayer life. I've got to press in the Holy Ghost. I've got to press. I'm going to declare a thing. I wasn't much declaring. You should have left me alone. I was dried up like a raisin. But when you pressed me, I came out with a fight. I came out with a new oil. I came out with a new anointing. I've got to lay hands on somebody. I've got to deliver this oil to somebody. I've got to help somebody else get up. When the enemy attacks you, turn it into a release of the miraculous. I'm going to break it down in this last bit. Here's the thing. And Pastor David said it clear. He said that when you don't know your value. See, when you know your value, that every time that you are pressed, that you have the power to do the miraculous. That also, you don't even have to be pressed for it. You just simply have to be led by the Spirit. Everything we do that shows the love of Jesus is miraculous. Every time we uphold the word of God, it is a release of the miraculous. Every time we hold our children and tell them that they are loved and they can do all things that the Lord has designed them to do, we are releasing the miraculous into their faith. When you speak life, you're releasing the miraculous. When you speak the good things of God, you're releasing the miraculous. And I want you to stand to your feet right now and recognize that you are a releaser of the miraculous. That's Alina, when you sing unto the Lord, you're not even just releasing a note, not just releasing a musical song or phrase or even the pitch, but when done in the Spirit, you're releasing the miraculous. There's notes that you can play on the keyboard. We've goofed off, and it was just joyful stuff. But grooved with the Spirit, it releases the miraculous. Your prayer one for another releases the miraculous. Never go through the motions and do something empty. Empty will not release the miraculous. When you're full of the Lord and you pray one for another, you're releasing the miraculous. Just begin to release life into this room. Release life into this room. Release life into this room. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord's wanting to lift a load up off of you. What was about ready to crush you. The only thing I can do is get to where God is. So as I pray with you, I want to let you know I just felt Him strong right there, that He's coming. Your help is coming. I release the miraculous of Christ Jesus into your life afresh. I just heard drawing. Do you draw? You do. Pray about what you should draw. And draw whatever the Lord gives you. Because when you give that picture to somebody in love with a smile, say Jesus loves you, the Lord is going to release the miraculous. The gift of a picture, yeah, drawn by a child, can release the miraculous of the Lord. Simple thank you for all the years of prayer, study, time with the Lord. We do not know, but He has record of all the many seeds that you've planted, the words you've spoken, that sometimes people didn't give you back an understanding that they were blessed, but they've released the miraculous. Released. Is there a book or a journal of some things the Lord has given to you that you've compiled? many. It's going to be time to recirculate. There's coming a new appreciation for what God has given you. How long you been serving the Lord?
Since I was 8, I'm 76.
68 years walking with the Lord. How many believes that this precious gift of God may have some things that the Lord has showed her that could help you? Let's see, we got to put three of you young people together to serve that long. Praise the Lord. Your whole lives. Hallelujah. Learn to honor those who have been long-term before God. Because the wells of wisdom they already know can save you from having to try to get out there and rebuild the wheel over again. Larry, how long have you been serving the Lord, sir? This is your darling wife. And y'all been serving the Lord together. Hallelujah. 40 plus years. Lots of prayer time. Lots of asking the Lord for things. I just heard him say that there's been some prayers that seem blocked and delayed. But they're coming through. They're coming through. There's going to be multiple prayers answered at the same time within a close period of each other that's going to show you that the Lord has done this. And I speak strength to your body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Strength to every tissue, every fiber, every cell, every joint, every tendon, every organ. The design of God. I speak life in the name of Jesus. Rita Baba, miraculous, be released in her for the glory of God. Somebody give God praise. While they sing, turn and minister to somebody. Minister some love to somebody. Minister some love to somebody. First of all, it might be somebody you came with, but then reach beyond your normal limitations.
Release your miracles, your never-ending power, the answer I am holding to. No one but you, your love is for us now, and you will be forever the Father I am running to. No one but you. Release your miracles.
He's releasing them right now to you, watching by Facebook, watching on YouTube, right there where you're at. There's a release of the miraculous coming to you right now by the power of God. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Jesus' name. Give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks. We thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord. So be looking for somebody to be a blessing to, because the Lord wants to be a blessing through you to them during this holiday season. Take good care of your temple the Lord has given you. Eat right. Get the right sleep, unless the Lord has woke you up to pray. Get some relaxed time. Get some chill time. If you get stressed over the news, cut them back, because they're just going to say the same thing 15 times. Turn them off. Hallelujah. Sing a song. Set the house in atmosphere. And let God come and dwell with you in a new and special way. I turn and tell somebody, say, I'm looking at a miracle. I'm looking at a miracle. I am a miracle, and I'm looking at a miracle. I am a miraculous releaser. I release the miraculous. But sometimes we need to release to each other. And when we do, remember, it just increases the value of both. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you give God a praise? Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that this